We'll head to the phones now. The North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike Zavagno joins us now from Fear the Sword. He has done an outstanding job following these Cavaliers all season long. He's did an outstanding job with his series preview for the Cavs and Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. Make sure you check that out on fearthesword.com. Mike, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you?
I'm good. We're going through here in the first couple segments here, and just kind of a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level headed into this Eastern Conference Finals? I believe you had the Cavaliers in 5, so I would assume you're pretty confident in the Cavs' chances here.
Yeah, for sure. I think that 5 or 6 are probably both reasonable selections here. I think that, the Celtics are certainly playing solid basketball, but there are places where I think the Cavs have strong advantages. The Celtics' half-court defense has been a little bit suspect so far in these playoffs. And I think that, everything starts really with how you're going to guard LeBron James and then how you're going to guard kind of the Kevin Love, Kyle Korver off-ball actions. And if teams are going to switch those actions, how much can Kevin Love punish them down in the post?
Who's going to start for Boston?
That's a good question. I've been thinking about that a lot. I think that my gut tells me that it's going to be Marcus Morris over Aaron Baines.
I agree.
As long as the Cavs stay small and start with Kevin Love at center, it's possible that the Cavs might want to go back to Tristan Thompson just because of the success that he's had against Al Horford throughout, Al Horford's playoff career, both in Boston and Atlanta. But if the Cavs start small, I think that, it's possible that Boston goes with Marcus Smart. But I think that Marcus Morris is probably the right guy in terms of who they want to guard LeBron James to start the game.
Yeah, you expect Morris and Jaylen Brown probably to get a majority of the cracks at LeBron?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that Boston's likely to switch almost everything. They probably won't switch George Hill, LeBron James actions. They probably want to avoid Terry Rozier being on James, but everything else, I would assume that they're likely to switch. So we'll probably see a lot of Morris and Brown start, but I wouldn't be surprised, if Marcus Smart is battling with LeBron in the post some, maybe some Semi Ojeleye gets a few minutes. He did a decent job on Giannis in the first round, and it's possible that we see some Jason Tatum as well.
Mike Zavagno with us from Fear the Sword. Give him a follow on Twitter. It's at mzavagno11. He does outstanding game threads throughout the postseason. Had a really good series preview as we get started for Cavaliers-Celtics game one here tomorrow. All right, so you mentioned the switches, and I would expect a lot of that. The Cavs' offense ate that up in the Toronto series, getting Kevin Love mismatched. Does Boston have better personnel in terms of getting those switches and maybe being able to do a better job of defending Love in the post?
I think they have better personnel than Toronto. I'm not sure that they have better personnel than Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we saw Thad Young do an incredible job against Kevin Love. I'm not positive that Boston has that type of guy. I think we'll see a lot of Horford on Love. Even if the Cavs are to start Tristan Thompson, I think that Aaron Baines would kind of be the guy who was tasked with guarding Thompson and trying to keep him off the offensive glass, still leaving Horford on Love. Even on some switches, I think Marcus Smart will battle. I'm not entirely sure that he's strong enough to deal with Kevin Love down there, but he's certainly going to make things difficult. And we saw a lot of him guarding J.J. Redick in the last series, so I wouldn't be surprised if he draws a lot of the minutes chasing Kyle Korver around as well.
Yeah, Boston is a lot closer to Indiana than they are to the Toronto Raptors. I mean, just in terms of defensive numbers, pace, I mean, they're going to try to play the same game plan, essentially, as the Pacers did. And I think Kevin Love is really, really important. If we get Indiana Kevin Love, like you mentioned, there's no Thaddeus Young on this roster, and he did such a great job for Indiana. But if it's that type of series and they're able to limit Love and they're able to at least slow him down, unlike what Toronto was able to do, I do expect this to be a 6 or 7 game series and potentially a long series. How can he counter if Boston's doing a good job of taking Love out of the game, if the switches aren't necessarily working? What do you do? Because you have to get Love going early in the game, obviously. How do you figure out ways to get Love involved if it feels like the Indiana series is starting to develop?
Yeah, I think that one of the big things, we mentioned Boston likely not switching you know, 1 through 5, it's more likely that they'll probably switch 2 through 5. So one of the things that you can certainly do is more of those George Hill, Kevin Love pick and roll actions. I think that, you know, missing Hill was a big part of that Indiana series. And, you know, with George Hill and Kevin Love kind of with a space floor, empty corner pick and roll, you know, the Celtics are probably hesitant to switch a guy like Terry Rozier onto Kevin Love just because of, you know, how small Rozier is and how you think that Kevin Love can kind of dominate him in the post. So if you're worried about those switches, I think that that's one action that you can certainly go to kind of counter them.
Mike Zavagno with us from Fear the Sword. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. It's at mzavagno, Z-A-V-A-G-N-O 11. You mentioned Tristan Thompson. It feels like this could be a good opportunity for him to get some minutes. You expect to see him more? And look, I guess Aaron Baines is the easy, you know, the easy thing that you point to when you say, well, somebody's got to defend Aaron Baines. The dude's a monster. Do you think Tristan, will Ty try to match Tristan's minutes with when Baines is on the floor, or do you kind of like the idea of the mismatch at the other end? If Lou can, if Love can handle Aaron Baines at one end, then Baines has to deal with him at the other end. I realize you have Horford out there as well, but I really expect Tristan Thompson to be needed in this series, and I think Ty Lue hopefully goes to him a little bit earlier than he did in that Indiana series where you waited until Game 7.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Thompson has a great history of success against Al Horford. You know, he even had success against him in this regular season, despite the fact that, you know, it wasn't the best regular season for Thompson. And so I certainly think that, you know, trying him out against Horford is going to be worthwhile. I mean, Horford's had an incredible postseason. He's certainly been Boston's best player. Being able to take him away offensively would be a huge part of Cleveland winning this series. And so I think that it's possible that we see Thompson kind of earlier in games than usual. Horford has a pretty predictable rest pattern. Stevens usually rests him from about, you know, the 4 minutes left mark in the first quarter to about the 6 or 7 minutes mark left in the second quarter. So if Ty Lue wants to kind of match Tristan up with Al Horford, I think that he would be able to do so. And it just comes down to, you know, how I think the Cavs feel about that five-out starting lineup that had such great success against Toronto kind of carrying over to have the same level of success against Boston.
Mike, how has Ty Lue been in the postseason? I mean, you and I have exchanged some texts, and obviously in that Indiana series, a lot of people were very frustrated towards the end of the regular season. A lot of people were very frustrated. He deserves some props, right, for making some adjustments over the course of the postseason, right?
Yeah, I think that Ty Lue deserves a lot of credit for staying the course in the Toronto series. You know, it didn't look that great after game one, just in terms of what Kevin Love was able to do against Valanciunas. You know, we saw him get a lot of opportunities at the rim. But, you know, watching the film and what Ty Lue saw, I'm sure as well, was just the amount of good shots that the Cavs missed when Kevin Love was playing center. And so he stuck with the course. He really worked those Kevin Love, Kyle Korver off-ball actions on offense, and, you know, is really able to kind of exploit Toronto's defense. And so I think he gets a lot of credit for that. He's really put the Cavs in a great position to succeed offensively. I think that, you know, his rotations are still a bit bothersome at times, especially when the bench comes in. I mean, the Cavs bench, you know, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson has really struggled in these playoffs. And we saw Chetty Osmond in game 4 of the Toronto series kind of come in over Rodney Hood. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not that kind of continues, you know, starting in game 1 against Boston.
Yeah, as you look down the bench, Mike, and I'll leave you with this. Obviously, huge question marks in terms of Rodney Hood. You don't even know if he's going to play. Jordan Clarkson has just sort of been out there. When you look down the bench, who's somebody that maybe you could see as a little bit of an X factor, somebody who maybe we're not talking about much, who you think could contribute for the Cavaliers? Because, you know, Boston, they go about 7.5 deep. I mean, he kind of yo-yos with Semi Ojeleye's minutes. I do think we'll see him a fair amount here in the series. But I think if it goes 6-7, the Cavaliers depth off the bench could play a very key role. Who's somebody you see maybe has a matchup advantage here against Boston?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Jordan Clarkson, despite some of his struggles, is a guy who could take advantage of some mismatches in this series. You know, Shane Larkin's injury kind of plays into that. With that shoulder injury, we're not entirely sure when he's going to be ready to return. That might mean more Rozier minutes, and Clarkson played quite well against Rozier this season, both with Cavs and with the Lakers. It's been a struggle for Clarkson. He hasn't really passed the ball well in these playoffs, but this is a Boston team that he's had kind of great success against in his entire career. And, you know, this might be a series where he can be a bit better than he's been so far in these playoffs.
All right, Mike, well done. Again, make sure you follow him on Twitter. It's at mzavagno, Zavagno11, writer for Fear the Sword, and his game threads over the course of the series. If you're not reading them, you're doing it wrong. If you're a Cavaliers fan, Mike Zavagno from Fear the Sword, great stuff, buddy. And thanks for joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.